My name is James Blake. Bossy. Bossy. I'm a working class lad from Lisburn in Northern Ireland. Humble, man, a bossy. Fling a rag a rhythm like it's so free. My dad, who passed away a number of years ago, didn't even have a bank account. He had nothing. He was a taxi driver his whole life. 6 years ago, I set up my own digital marketing agency. I had 500 quid when I started my business. I had nothing, nothing at all. I've just hit 30, and my life today is the image of success. In business, image and branding is everything. Tesla wouldn't be what it is without Elon Musk. Apple wouldn't be what it is without Steve Jobs. My whole world is digital and it's all online. And my personal Insta is a massive part of getting business in. When I got a Lamborghini, I posted it all the time. When I bought a McLaren, I posted it all the time. And when I get a watch, I post it up. So there I was, living my best life, until I had a guy leave a one-star review on my company's page and said, the man that runs this company messes around with other people's wives. And I seen it and was like, what? I messaged the guy and he sent me screenshots of his wife planning to divorce him and marry me and adopt his children, which is nuts. You know, like, that's crazy. So I started looking and I found all these profiles using pictures of me and my stuff. They were everywhere. None of them were mine. What the fuck was going on? Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Telegram, WhatsApp, Bumble, Hinge, Tinder, Grindr, Luxie. Even my dog Lily was being used in a GoFundMe. The messages from randoms just kept coming in. Some of them were saying I'd stolen their money. One woman that came out of nowhere and it was 50,000, like 50 grand. And that was when I kind of went, oh shit, this is serious. Someone had stolen my face and my name and was using me to scam people out of money. And I needed to find out who. I want to get my identity back so much. The more content I create, the more content the scammers have to use. It's like I have built my own prison.
James Blake, hunting the Catfish Crime Gang. Belfast.
To find out who's behind the fake profiles using my face, I'm doing a social media shout out to try to talk to people who've been messaged by the fake accounts. We're going to make a quick video to put out all of my proper social media channels, so my Instagram, my TikTok, my LinkedIn, everything. I'm good to go?
When you're ready.
Hey guys, you may be aware that there are many fake profiles of me on social media using my name and using my photos. If you have had a message from a profile that uses my name or my photos, which isn't this profile, please send me a message directly and let me know. Thank you very much.
Clips of James's expensive lifestyle.
Within days, people started getting in touch. Soon I had literally hundreds of DMs. Most were too ashamed to talk to me on camera, but three brave women have agreed to. Today I am going on Zoom with some of the guys that spoke to people impersonating me. I'm chatting to people that potentially have built up a relationship with me previously. So I just don't really know what to expect. It is a wee bit nerve-wracking to do this kind of call. Mallory reached out to me initially to say that she believes somebody is catfishing on Tinder here in the USA, claimed to be called Carl. So I'm going to speak to her today just about what happened and how she found out that he was fake in the end. Hey, Mallory.
Hi, James.
Thank you for coming on and joining me on Zoom. Are you having a good day?
No problem. Yeah, I'm having a great day.
Thank you so much for reaching out to me on Instagram about the fake account and the WhatsApp and everything like that. How did you meet the fake originally?
It was on Tinder. I mean, I thought you were very good looking, and so I swiped right. Your pictures seemed like you were just a genuine person, and that was really attractive to me.
And then it turned out to be the absolute opposite. Because it wasn't a genuine person at all. That's crazy. Did you converse much with the fake?
We transitioned to the Telegram app, which is like WhatsApp, just messaging. He shared
Danny.
He was a Chinese citizen and recently had moved to Miami, Florida. He was a data analyst.
Could you describe the conversations that you had with the fake profile?
Letitia from Brazil. We spoke a lot about relationships, family and work. We spoke for a month.
And then they started talking about Bitcoin.
He told me he did some trading with cryptocurrency. Within just two or three days maybe of talking, he was, let me teach you something new.
When he saw he couldn't speak to me about the financial bit, he would pivot to speaking about the emotional. I had a gut feeling several times, but he did a lot of, oh God, how do you say it? Emotional manipulation.
How did you realize that it was fake? How did you realize that this was a scammer?
I have a friend who lives in Ireland. She said, his name isn't Andy.
Yeah.
And then we reverse Google search.
I asked to video chat. And the person was like, well, I don't video chat, babe, like, until I meet you. Like, I just like to keep things private. And I was like, that's not real.
I analyzed the videos he sent me. And in one of the videos, I could see the name of the company that the real person, James, worked for, was there.
I can't believe I actually got catfished. You know, you never think it's going to happen to you. Dating is just dumb online, I think. You don't really know if it's a real person or a troll or a robot.
His profile looked legitimate because it was verified on Tinder. It has the blue tick.
If I seen an account with a blue tick, I would assume that it was real. Did you report the profiles and stuff in the end, yeah?
I did report it on Tinder, but didn't get a response.
That seems to be a common thing. I've reported hundreds of profiles and the social media platforms just don't do anything.
I did fall in love for that person, for the fake.
Yeah.
It was very hard to accept that it wasn't real. I think if I had spoken to him for longer, I probably would have done the fake investment.
I'm super glad that happened and you kind of didn't progress any more with it, but it doesn't take away the emotional impact, so I'm very sorry that this has happened to you. Well, thank you so much and have a nice rest of day.
You too.
See you later.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
They're all relatively quite young. You know, they're not old women. They're not tech illiterate. It's just anybody, really, is a potential victim.
James opens a drawer of neatly packed ties.
There are tons of fake profiles, and they're really slick. But when I report them to Meta, I just get these generic messages saying they aren't against community guidelines. Like, come on. This one here has actually got super recent posts. Like, literally, these were days ago, these posts. This one here, crypto mentorship, Bitcoin, helps investors to generate income. I've never seen this one. 8,000 followers. He actually has a tab for fake profiles. It's ridiculous. This guy here who has been active for the longest, __James__Blake__, 65,000 followers. And this is one of the ones that I really want to get taken down the most, to be honest. It's been reported so many times.
How does it feel that a fake account has more followers than your real account?
Well, having followers creates the illusion of authenticity in a world where you can buy them. It doesn't really point directly towards authenticity, in my opinion. I'm going to go ahead and report this profile. Since I got verified on Instagram, you can report it with saying it's pretending to be somebody else. Then you select a celebrity or public figure, and then you can actually type in the name. To be honest, I've done it so many times with zero result that doing that just feels like a complete waste of time. When I first found out about the identity theft, I reported it to the police, but there didn't seem to be very much they could do. I'm calling 101 to see if there's any other advice or information.
Police Service, Northern Ireland.
Hello there. I was just looking to speak to somebody about a report I made about people impersonating me online.
No problem. What I can do is send the investigating officer of that one a wee email and ask them to contact you about it.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, you need to speak to report it to all the social media sites and action fraud.
Is there anything that the police can actually do in regards to this?
It's really up to the social media sites.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are in control of it.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I think you need to phone action fraud and just tell them that people are using your identity and stuff.
Would there be many of these kind of like things happening in Northern Ireland?
All the time.
Is there?
All the time. All the time, James.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
Even if you're a computer whiz kid or if you're not a computer whiz kid,
yeah.
You take a picture and a name and all your details.
Yeah, yeah. But okay, thanks for taking my call anyway.
No problem. Go on
to that action on that site, James. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right. Have a nice day. See you. Bye bye. Bye.
Bye.
So, action fraud, they've said here that identity theft is often a precursor to fraud, but is not actually considered a recordable crime, which I think is quite silly, to be honest. I think that there shouldn't have to be a follow up crime to make the actual theft of identity illegal. You've got dating fraud, you've got identity theft, so I'll go for that. And there you go. So what kind of fraud was committed using your identity? You've got three options: applied for credit, took a phone contract out, or my bank account was accessed. There's no other option for what's happening to me. All of this just seems so dated, so out of line with the real world and the world that we're living in right now. Given the cops can't do anything, I've been trying to find someone online who can. And it turns out Northern Ireland is a hotspot for cybersecurity experts. Jim Browning is a scam baiter with over 4 million subscribers on YouTube. He tricks scammers into giving him access to their computers by pretending to be a victim.
How can you find me that I'm a scammer?
Well, you've been lying to me the whole time.
Once he's got proof of criminal activity, Jim hands it over to the authorities so they've got the evidence to shut them down.
Don't rush, slow touch.
I messaged him and he's agreed to meet. But only at the top of a multi-story car park, hidden in plain sight.
Where you they go, where they go up.
I'm hoping he will be able to track down the fake Blakes. Jim, thank you so much for meeting me here.
It's a bit of a strange place to meet anyone, to be quite honest.
In Jim's car...
I'm disrupting literally multi-million dollar scams. I feel I need to take a few obvious precautions, one of which is I don't use my real name, I don't show my face. It's for my own personal safety more than anything else.
I have been impersonated online on social media, dating apps, all with the mid to long term goal to scam people. So I contacted the police, who basically said they can't do anything about it.
The police are not in a great position to deal with these sorts of scams because honestly, they're a little bit too technical.
Yeah.
And there are very few people in the police service who have the expertise to deal with it. It is down to the likes of me and other people who do scam baiting, who can really dig into scams. There's obviously laws restricting what you can and can't do. And I guess I'm in a more fortunate position that I can probably do things that strictly are illegal.
Could you show me some of the work that you're doing at the moment?
Certainly, we can have a look at some scammers from India who are pretending to be UK banks. And what we'll do is we'll have a listen to actual scams happening live.
And you got all of this by accessing their computer?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, we will keep your account under investigation. We will keep our eye on it, okay, and catch those culprits.
For heaven's sake, I can hardly hear you. I'm 82 years old. I don't want this.
Ma'am?
That's terrible, isn't it?
I understand your concern, but
it's live as well.
This is live right now.
It's about to keep safe your money, okay? You just go to the bank, okay, and just tell them that I want to withdraw the 3,000 from my savings account, and that's it.
They're in the process of convincing her to go to her bank. And what they'll do when she gets to the bank is persuade her that somebody in that bank branch is stealing her money and she needs to safeguard her account by moving it elsewhere.
You can even tell how distressed she is just from him even phoning her.
So I know who they are and where they are, and it's actually very difficult to get the police to do something about it. I know where the building is, but I don't know which floor it's on. So I know it within 20 metres. And if I'm going to tell the police, you need to go in here, I need to say, it's this floor and this office. And I need somebody ideally to go in and kind of nosy around first. It's unbelievable. Police should be doing that, not me.
Get back to your house, okay? And we'll give you with the number. You call on that and let us know that, yes, you've been bagged, okay?
Yeah, well, what's the number?
Oh, yeah, she's falling for this.
She is, yeah.
You're a bit sick, to be honest. I think that's disgusting, what they're doing.
Yeah.
And hearing this live, it's making me feel a little bit emotional, if I'm honest. It's a bit messed up.
Once you get back, just give us a call, OK?
Yeah, bye.
She sounds like such a lovely woman as well.
So I think what we should do is give this lady a call.
Yeah, no, absolutely,
before she goes to the bank to withdraw her 3,000.
Jim calls the elderly woman.
Hello.
Hello, my name's Jim Browning. I'm calling you because the last phone call you got is a scam. I don't know if you were aware of that.
Oh, I just don't know what I'm doing.
But I can assure you the people who just called you are not your bank.
All right, so I don't need to go to the bank.
You don't need to go to the bank, no, okay? But even call them just to assure yourself. That last caller was a scammer.
At my age, I don't want this.
I know. You don't need it. You really don't need it, okay? Anyway, you can tell them where to go if they phone you again, okay?
I'll tell them to fuck off.
Good for you. That's what you need. Okay. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
All right, then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Love that bit at the end.
The sad thing is, I could be doing that all day, every day.
Yeah. And in terms of what's going on with me and the impersonation and all of the accounts that are scamming people, do you have any advice for me to try and catch some of these people?
Usually the scams that I deal with, they tend to be where the scammer connects to your computer. With the likes of people just impersonating you, it tends to be they only message you using, you know, WhatsApp or Telegram or
encrypted channels.
Exactly.
And
because of that, they're actually quite difficult to kind of find out who they are, where they are, and so on.
Yes.
I definitely cannot guarantee that we will get a lot of information about those scammers, but at very least, I will give it a go.
James gets back into his white sports car.
I'm buzzing. Jim's going to have a look into who's behind the fake Blakes. But it's got me angry, realising just how many scams there are being carried out every single day.
What type of people are they? You know, you could hear today that they're relentless, they're emotionless. Regarding the people that are being defrauded by my image and the scammers using my profile and things, it really humanises it.
Views from a jet on a runway and in the air.
Investigating crime should not be down to vigilante hackers breaking laws in the process. I've read that Detective Backy Mason was the first UK police officer to put international romance scammers behind bars.
Hey, Backy.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, good, you?
Yeah.
I'm hoping she will take a look at my fake profiles.
90 million alone last year had gone to romance fraud. That was just UK.
Wow.
Based.
That's a lot, isn't it?
It's insane, isn't it? I'm fighting a losing battle.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the time and the effort that can go into something that may not go anywhere. You know, everything they are doing, they are getting more sophisticated and making it harder for us to track them down. I'm lucky with Surrey Police that they've actually seen the importance of it and have let me investigate it. I was looking through your profile and you've got a fake one, haven't you, that is showing more followers. I mean, that profile is so sophisticated. I mean, this is organised crime.
I was just hoping that it was somebody doing it in their bedroom and that it could be easily stopped. And yeah. obviously, as time has went on, I've realised it isn't.
Yeah.
And I have tried to report that profile specifically hundreds of times.
We, as the UK police force, go to Instagram, go to Facebook and say, look, we need to get this taken down. But yeah. we are then up against American laws and American systems.
Right, okay.
Not only that, we're fighting criminals that aren't based in the UK.
Yeah.
So it's what the hell do you do?
Yeah.
We cannot shut down every single fraudulent profile on every yeah. single platform. Yeah. We physically can't do it. It does feel at times like we are fighting a losing battle.
The victims that I've spoken to who have been frauded by fakes of me, they're not that old.
Yeah.
Which I find quite interesting.
For a long time it was, yeah, it's definitely women, 60s,
yeah.
vulnerable. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
It can happen to anyone. It's just, obviously, as a police force, action fraud, things like that, are governed by people that report it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were then finding that maybe the younger generation were not reporting it, whether they felt embarrassed about
yes.
it, whether all, you know, you've got that sort of, oh, my God, I've just been a victim of it. Realistically, if I report it, is anything going to be done regardless?
Yeah.
So am I better off not? So
yeah.
our figures were just sort of incorrect anyway, but unless we can see the true impact this is having on people, how can we react to that? So I would just push for anyone that has been a victim to just at least log it.
Yeah.
But we need to know what is happening.
Talking to Becky's got me even more fired up to do something. Whilst I'm here, I'm meeting two women who are fighting back after being scammed. Cecilia's famous for helping bring down the Tinder swindler. She fought back after being conned out of hundreds of thousands. Now she and Anna have set up a group helping people to speak up about being scammed. How much in total did he defraud you out of?
£200,000.
Wow. Did you have the £200,000
no,
to give him?
No. It was high consumer debt loans.
Really?
9 of them in total. I had to sell my apartment. I was taken to court by 4 banks, and then they started going after me here in the UK with debt collectors. But so I had to file for bankruptcy here.
I had my own experience. It wasn't a financial one, and it was a guy in his real life who was leading a double life.
Right.
But there was nowhere for me to go.
Cecilia and Anna are starting a charity for other victims.
Love Said aims to be a centralised organisation dedicated to romance yeah. fraud, which there isn't mm-hmm. something yeah. of at the moment. The heart of it will be victim support, obviously.
So that is what we're wow. hoping to achieve, and to be the organisation that we wished we had. I don't want anyone to go through what I had to go through and, like, you know, being alone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want people to feel it, because they're not alone.
Yeah.
You're one of the biggest, being used, I should say, one of the biggest kind of scams that there is out there at the minute.
Unfortunately, yes.
I made a post about this probably back in January 21, when
okay.
I first started seeing the romance and the crypto scams being used in conjunction. It's got a horrible name called pig butchering. I decided, OK, I need to find out more about who's doing this, what's doing this. They have Facebook groups where they train each other.
Really?
Yeah.
They actually use Facebook to facilitate training groups
yes.
for scammers?
Yes. I have seen your face on lots
of... Have you, actually?
Yeah, yeah, on lots okay. of crypto investment scam sites. But a new search engine has come out, and it's called FaceCheck ID.
OK.
This is a free service, and it's using facial recognition
mm-hmm.
with AI here, and this picks up more than I've ever seen. It also highlights if those pictures are being used on many, many profiles.
Really?
It's kind of
okay.
a given that these pictures
yeah.
are being used by a scammer. I've put one of your pictures in here. Here we go, look.
Oh, my God. Why is there so many?
Yeah.
They're all fake profiles.
Oh, yeah. Your real one is in there as well.
OK.
So this is one of the fake profiles. It's loaded up 376 posts. It's got nearly 4,500 followers.
Wow. Yes. Oh, my God. I only uploaded that yesterday.
Yeah.
And I only uploaded...
Yeah.
Holy shit. I literally have only uploaded these pictures.
Yeah.
I really do think that the actual actions of contacting people and, you know, creating the rapport and all of that, it's done via these platforms.
They are totally enabling it. They're complicit in the crime,
yeah, they're
aren't they?
Complicit.
Views from a jet above the clouds, then videos of James driving high-spec vehicles, standing by a blue ocean, walking near the Eiffel Tower and puffing on a shisha pipe. Belfast. That's the intro.
I want to find out what the law actually says. So I've got an appointment with Belfast Paul Tweed, a world famous lawyer. He has represented the stars like Britney and Tom Cruise. I'm thinking he might be able to help me build a case against the platforms.
Hi, Paul.
James.
How are
Great
you?
Great to meet you. We have been battling with the social media platforms for a long number of years. Mm-hmm. Every single client that comes in to me says, why are social media platforms treated differently from the traditional media? If this was, say, for the sake of argument, a national newspaper and somebody had written into the newspaper about you with a photograph of you making false statements and they published it, they'd be liable.
Yeah.
So why should a platform be any different?
They don't seem to want to take any accountability.
I mean, the bottom line on it is this. If it wasn't for the platforms, this would not, your photographs would not be disseminated around the world. Simple as that. I mean, well, then that's the starting point here. Yeah. You know, if they were not facilitating it, it wouldn't happen. Yeah. And yours is a good example in the sense it's so stark. You know, it's just such a blatant abuse of your image that, you know, if something can be done in your case, there's not much hope for other less, more subtle scenarios.
Whenever you actually meet the people and you see the impact that it's had on them as well, it's the exact same story. The platforms don't want to know.
They should be accepting responsibility. Yeah. And if they're not prepared to accept responsibility, it will require somebody to take this into court. I mean, this requires a legal precedent to be set. But there has not been a case, to my knowledge, that's actually gone into court and tested this issue, certainly in the Irish jurisdictions anyway. I would not advise any client to be seen to be running a test case unless you are some form of billionaire.
How much would it actually cost me to take this to court?
You would need to certainly have a five-figure sum available to get you going.
I suppose this could run into six figures, could it?
It most definitely would run into six figures, substantial six figures, but you'd have to allow for the risk of losing. So, you know, your costs would be doubling up. As the saying goes, the libel courts are not for widows and orphans. It is expensive.
Yeah. If you are a A-list celebrity with millions of pounds to burn, you know, you could take this to court all day long and do what you need to do. But I think for most people, myself included, you know, to drop six figures potentially on something like this just isn't really an affordable thing.
The platforms aren't doing anything about my fake profiles. So I've messaged Meta asking for a face-to-face. And they've come back with more than just the standard response, but only to ask for more details about the fake profiles.
I have attached a list of active accounts that are currently using my identity. I've reported these fake profiles many times to Meta. Nothing seems to have been done. Why have the reported profiles not been taken down? And what is Meta doing to stop fraud on their platforms? Would it be possible to meet with someone from Meta to speak about this issue and understand it from Meta's perspective? I look forward to hearing from you. Please let me know if you need any more information. Yours sincerely, James Blake. To be honest, I'm not confident and not hopeful. To date, they haven't responded to anything that I've sent them directly using the app. Support, tickets, reports of fake profiles, it's mostly been ignored, or it's just been dismissed.
I'm waiting to hear if I can get a face-to-face with Meta, but I've also heard from a new UK-based victim of the fake Blake profiles. Kate got conned out of 30 grand. She's so ashamed that she hasn't been able to tell anyone, not even her family or closest friends. I'm pretty nervous about this meeting because Kate was conned whilst thinking she was in a relationship with me.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Voice altered.
I like the wig.
Thanks.
Looks nice.
How's your dog, Lily?
Yeah, she's amazing. and the scammer was sending you photos of Lily?
Yes, there was lots of photos of Lily and another dog, another Shih Tzu as well.
Bonnie?
Yes, that's it.
No way, they were sending you pictures of Bonnie. So Bonnie is Lily's sister?
That's what they said, though.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, and she's actually my mum's dog?
There's pictures of your mum with them on a settee in your house.
It's terrifying to hear that. It almost feels like these guys have built up like a massive media folder or something like that. You know, they have all this stuff.
They're on a park bench.
the money that you give him, was it all in one amount or was it over a period of time?
A period of time.
Was it?
Yes, it was. One of the things he said was, I wanted to find someone who wasn't interested in my money. And I said to him, I'm not interested in your money, I'm interested in the type of person you are.
Suppose you wanted to kind of show that then?
Yes.
By putting out money yourself?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
I can't easily recruit £30,000.
No.
Every day I get up, I think about the amount of money. Obviously, it's upsetting to think about it. You've met someone who you think was honest and trustworthy, and they've taken your life savings and got you to date.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm just so sorry that this has happened and that it's been my face used to do it.
It's been very tough.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely tough.
When I listened to Kate, I just froze. It's so weird hearing firsthand how much my story is part of the scam. I want to understand how scammers can manipulate people into handing over money.
A swan swims with its cygnets. Now, in London.
Kate has given me a copy of all the messages she exchanged with the scammer. I've come to Kingston University in London to meet with Dr. Liz Carter. She is a criminologist and forensic linguist, and she is going to look at Kate's messages. Hi, Liz. Nice to meet you.
Lovely to meet you. Come and have a seat.
Yeah, thank you very much.
It's not often I get to chat with somebody in this kind of situation. Mm. Usually it's just words on a page. For the last few years, I've been looking at scams, at fraud, because that's where language is used specifically to make someone feel in a particular way. I've been sent the messages by the victim. I've been having a look through them. Must be really weird, by the way, to see your name on this. It must be.
It is. There was a point where I actually just stopped creating anything.
Yeah.
Started posting a lot less. And I definitely think that one of the reasons was because I didn't want to arm these guys with more stuff.
So this is really important to know that you're not to blame for any of this at all. Whatever you put on Instagram is absolutely your choice.
Yeah.
If it's out in the open and we understand it's a type of abuse, we'd have more empathy and we'd have more understanding and we'd put the blame and the shame where it lies, where it should lie, which is at the perpetrator. So he's saying, I didn't think love was for me, it was something other people have. So bringing this kind of sympathetic response from the victim, but I love you so much, so much. You've made it possible, you've made everything possible. You're a wonderful person.
I've heard of a thing called love bombing.
Yes.
Is that what this is?
Yes, absolutely. All of these things, something that everybody probably wants to hear, you know, where this relationship is starting. As well as love bombing, which is very extreme, he then goes to the other extreme as well. She's questioning him. You know, I don't think you're real. He starts saying, why don't you trust me? Maybe I should leave you now. And she's just saying, I just don't get why you can't meet me face to face. So she's being very reasonable. She's saying everything that Protect Literature would tell her to. He says, I hate it when you're having trust issues. What's wrong with you, babe? I don't understand. I mean, explicitly saying, what's wrong with you? And this is where we start seeing a similarity between fraud and domestic abuse and coercive control.
Yeah, like passing that on to her, like as if she's the one with the problem, not him.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's really giving the impression that he would walk away, which is quite important because we'd think a scammer doesn't want to walk away. This language, it's so persuasive and it makes the victim feel and behave in a way that they feel like they're making good, rational, reasonable choices.
Yeah.
And then suddenly everything crumbles down around them and then they feel completely stupid. Mm-hmm. They feel like they've given all their money away, but actually it's really psychological manipulation.
Yeah.
The person who's a victim actually has to actively participate in it, which is where all the shame comes from. Mm-hmm. You know, they've decided to send money, but what we know is that actually they've been groomed into it.
It was eye-opening seeing Kate's messages, and it blew my mind finding out just how controlling the scammers are. As I headed back to Belfast, scam beater Jim Browning has been in touch. There's been a breakthrough in the investigation. I want to know who these people are, and Jim has found someone for me to speak to.
James, great to meet you again.
Yes, good to see you.
We have got somebody on the inside of a romance scam, and specifically we've got somebody who is working in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's done is given me access to the inside of the scam call center.
Okay.
And he's even taken photographs and videos so that we can see exactly what goes on.
Wow.
This person is working as a scammer inside a compound in Dubai and says he was conned into the job.
So he's called himself Beard, and it keeps him a little bit safer.
Hello?
Hello, Beard.
Okay, we're on.
Hopefully you can hear us as well.
Yeah, I'm hearing you well.
Okay, good. So you're obviously trying to keep yourself safe. Can you tell us how you're able to make this phone call at the moment? I mean, where are you? Can anyone hear you?
At the moment, there's only one girl, and he's about 50 feet away. And I'm pretty sure he can't hear me. This time I'm taking right now, I was supposed to be sleeping. So I can make this call because no one else is supposed to be outside.
And are you allowed to leave the complex when you want?
No, only in certain times and only when I have access cards. I wanted to travel to Dubai in order to start a new life. So I was here for about 2 weeks looking for any kind of job. And I looked, we thought it's an advertising job. When I got to the job, they just sat me on a computer and told me to read a conversation. So when I read it, I instantly realized this is a scam. I wanted to instantly leave, but I could do something more. So I just stayed and contacted Jim, and we started all working on this.
Can you walk me through the process from start to finish?
We talked with the victim for a few days in order to know them more. Then we told them about the crypto investment.
That is literally bit by bit what I've seen from the guys impersonating me.
It's scripted for a reason, and the reason is that it works.
Yeah.
We convinced them to invest in the cryptocurrency, and then when they actually get convinced, we hand them over to the Chinese. The Chinese then take over the control of the chat and keep texting them and telling them how to withdraw every single day.
Beard, are the Chinese based in the same location as you?
They're in a room behind our office. Those other buildings from ground up, just for scams and scams only.
Yeah.
Like, you live here, you eat here, you make your job here. Everything is here.
Thanks to what you've done for us, I've been able to see a little bit of what goes on. They actually have real models who are part of the call center.
Wow.
And will make occasional calls to the victims.
Are these models actually being given a glamorous lifestyle?
By the looks of it, they certainly pay them to go to certain locations just for photographs.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, the models themselves are living in the same accommodation as the scammers.
Okay.
When the victim is like, okay, can I see your face in a video? They just take the phone to the model and she talks with them.
A model answers a video call.
I'm going to see your face. I'm not working there now. Nice to see you. I will message you WhatsApp, okay? Bye.
They're not even really trying to build that much rapport via video, are they? It's more so to put it back to the message.
It's her job. Her job is just to convince him.
See, that's terrifying, because any doubt that you had in your head is going to be put to rest when you're on a video call, she's talking to you. You can really see how people then go, oh, this is completely legitimate. I have to say, I feel sorry for the people on the other end of those calls. I'd always blame the scammers, but realise there are layers of people caught up in this and not all of them signed up for it. I'm still getting DMs from victims of the fake Blake profiles, but I've also had someone get in touch claiming they were working for one in a compound in Myanmar. Which, now I've Googled it, I know is a country in Asia, next to Thailand. It's the first link I've had to someone using my actual photos to scam, and I want to follow it up, but that means a long flight. I've never been to Southeast Asia before, and I'm buzzing to see what it's actually like. First stop, Bangkok.
Speeded up footage of a tuk-tuk travelling through Bangkok streets at night.
We're at a Thai food market, and because of the time difference, I'm bollocksed. I wonder will I be able to find a normal Red Bull here?
In a casual shirt and trousers, James passes a seafood stall.
I genuinely would rather take a bullet than eat a scorpion, and I'm not even joking.
He goes to a stall selling fruit kebabs.
Thank you.
He stands eating by the stall.
That's actually legal. The jet lag's brutal, but after 4 hours of crap sleep, I've arranged to meet Andrew from International Justice Mission.
Welcome to IJM.
Nice to meet you.
It's a charity that supports victims, investigates the scam compounds, and builds legal cases to take them down.
Enforced scamming is perhaps one of the most complex and fastest growing forms of modern slavery in the world right now. It's shocking because the same sort of brutality is happening in the compounds in Myanmar, in Laos, in Cambodia, and in the Philippines. Here's an example of a live recruitment ad on Facebook. This was posted just 10 days ago. The victims that are forced to scam are usually recruited through social media. This has been posted in a Facebook group for Indians, people that are often in their 20s. They often have university degrees in IT or marketing.
Not only is the actual scam being facilitated, but the employment of the scammers is also being facilitated through these social media platforms.
People are responding to the jobs that are advertised as being in Thailand, and they travel here.
Yeah.
And then they are trafficked through Thailand into often Myanmar or Laos.
And in terms of Myanmar's authorities, you know, are they open to conversations?
Myanmar is a complex situation. There was a military coup that happened in Myanmar a couple years ago that removed the democratically elected government. It's happening in border areas. Local militias have perhaps signed deals to be allowed to do for scamming. That's generating a lot of money, and I would assume is also funneling money upwards. If we kind of extrapolate from the number of suspected victims being forced to do this inside Cambodia and the targets they were given and they shared to us, we could estimate that this could be generating, perhaps in a year or so, upwards of $12 billion. In Myanmar, I would suspect that it's more.
Wow. Crazy.
Just to kind of give you an example of how these scamming compounds have grown and developed over the past couple of years, this satellite shot is from January 2022. You can see there's not much development. Yeah. This is showing March of this year. And as you can kind of see, it's nearly tripled in size over the course of a year. So there's no hard data on it, but the estimates are that it could be 200,000
people nearly
being forced into this. This image shows some evidence of the abuse that's happening inside KK Park, that area that we just showed you the satellite images of. This abuse to this person happened because this person missed the target that they were given to scam others out of money. It's a level of bruising from beatings, often with a wooden or a metal rod, that it's hard to fathom in the next image, which is showing another victim who was electrocuted. People who have managed to hide a phone have filmed what's happening inside secretly and at great risk, and then published it onto social media to get help. And that includes Facebook, it includes TikTok. These videos are getting out there. The caption is saying that a person failed to escape from this area and then was recaptured. It's hard to imagine that that's a real person and that that actually happened.
Yeah, it is. It is.
A victim's dragged off by four men.
I do think the fact that he's screaming for help just shows you how much he wants to leave. I would never have thought that this is the people that are potentially behind the fake profiles of me and things like that. And I think that seeing the way that they're being treated as well is just absolutely horrendous.
You tend to think that slavery is something that was eradicated 100 years ago. But the shocking thing is that slavery in modern forms continues to this day around the world.
James nods as they watch footage of people being beaten.
Despite the heat, I've got to get my suit on, as Andrew's taking me to a meeting he's got with a top Thai detective. He's investigating the criminal gangs running the scam compounds.
I noticed everybody's in suits today in 31 degrees heat. I'm proper roasting. Would you guys wear suits a lot then, or?
When you do go into official meetings, things with the government, things with embassies, people do put on suits in order to show that, you know, we respect each other and we're professional. So you're Sounds looking good in your suit.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. I was kind of a bit tentative about wearing a suit because I thought I'm going to die with heat stroke or something because it is very warm.
They travel past high-rise buildings.
We're on the expressway right now, above the lower street down below.
Yeah.
And there are several of these massive expressways all across Bangkok.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't have them, it would probably take you 2 to 3 hours to get from one part to the other.
Wow.
It's that big. I think there's about 15 million people in Bangkok and the surrounding area, and Thailand, 70 million.
It is absolutely bonkers.
We're headed over to meet with the director of the Department of Special Investigation, DSI's Bureau of Human Trafficking Crime. DSI is like Thailand's equivalent of the US FBI.
They enter an office.
Hello.
Hello, Director Gao.
How are you?
Great to see you.
Nice to see you again.
Thanks for meeting with us. This is James.
Hello.
Hello, James.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Director.
You're looking good.
Thank you very much. Thank
he
you
has a good much. Suit, too.
Take your seat.
Thank you very much.
The Bureau of Human Trafficking Crime.
Some of the sources pointed towards the Chinese being part of the hierarchy of this. Is that something that you've seen?
Most of the owners or bosses are Chinese nationals who come from many different countries.
Can you tell us what are some of the things that DSI is doing to investigate the trafficking networks?
In Thailand, we have information on the recruiters and the drivers. They are actual criminal organizations. Now I'm seeking international cooperation in order to identify the people who own the company and are responsible for the crime. And prosecute them. Scrolling through fake accounts.
I've learnt more about the scammers, but still want to find out why they chose my face and name. Andrew's lined up a call with a man called Gavesh. He was trafficked into Myanmar after answering a communications job ad on Facebook. He's now safe back at home. Hey Gavesh, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thank you very much for taking the time to come on to Zoom today and share some of your story with me.
They wanted us
to search Instagram to create a new profile.
Can you describe the types of profiles that you were told to find?
Some who has good selfies, like in every angle, like has a good job, or like someone who's like a gentleman type, someone with pets, someone with money. They wanted profiles with more than 100 photos. And the number of followers should be less than 10,000.
How long were you actually doing it for?
I was there for like 5-6 months. We were like in the prison. We had a timetable. They were controlling everything. We had to work 16 hours. And we don't have enough time to sleep. There was so many rules. And if you don't obey them, they will punish you. If they kill us inside, no one will know. I was desperate. There were days that I had cried alone in my bed thing because I was in a jail. They were like sending us to different companies. I was sold 3 times and I didn't even know like how can they do this to us? Like we are like property for them.
James nods.
Have you ever told your family about what's happened to you?
They still do. I'm really ashamed of myself.
I never thought this is what I'd be getting into when I first found my fake profiles. In a dark room, we fight. And talking to Gavesh, it feels like I'm getting closer to the real story. But I want to see the scam compounds for myself. It's not really that safe to go to Myanmar.
So we're heading to the border town of Maesop, an 8-hour drive away. Andrew has some contacts there who can show us the compounds from the safety of Thailand.
The fact that if I shared an Instagram story whilst I'm in Belfast in Northern Ireland, and, you know, a couple of hours later it's being shared around the world on a fake profile that originates here, is just crazy. When Gavash was explaining what they look for in profiles, and, you know, it was like my profile ticked all the boxes, and it made it very obvious then why they decided to use mine. It felt like a very deep kind of sadness for the people that are actually being forced to scam. I had no idea the way it worked. They come here with aspiration and excitement, and all they really get to experience is pain and being dehumanized to the point where, you know, they're basically slaves. Doing this trip, it's quite strange because we know where we're going, but people that come here don't. So I think that going down to this area has a little bit of a dark feeling to it.
Night falls. Next morning, heavy traffic in Maesot, Thailand.
It's a different vibe here, and we need to keep a low profile. We have been warned that there are scouts everywhere. Judah and Mish monitor scam compound activity and help people who manage to escape.
When I look at the compound and I look at what's happened to the country, it's devastating. How is this even possible that something like this can exist? That you would actually stand across a river so close to someone that cannot escape their captor, that are in fear of their life, and yet you could wave to them at their balcony while they're standing there.
It's coming. It's a little bit.
But this is where you do start seeing some of the compounds.
Yeah.
But this is KK Park.
This is KK Park?
Yes.
So this is the one that Gavash was in?
This is where Gavash was.
Yeah.
Yes. Can you imagine Gavash coming all the way from his home country through the airport in Bangkok in a van and then ending up here?
As we pass by, we're being watched carefully.
One of those guys just took off following us, eh?
No more laps passed.
They're all staring at us, and then he just jumped on his bike.
We try and find another location where it would be a bit safer to stop. I mean, take the side street.
Down. Just please be very quick when you do this, okay?
Yeah.
There's nothing stopping anyone from either crossing the river or shooting across the river at us.
Okay.
And we don't want to upset anyone on this side of the border.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me nervous coming down here. Judah's a lot braver than I am.
James gets out of the car and looks across the fields towards a walled compound of low-rise buildings.
This was the closest I could risk getting to a scam compound.
I mean, there's probably a high likelihood that somebody in there at some point has impersonated me online with the intention to scam, or impersonated somebody else with the intention to scam. In fact, it's a certainty that they've definitely done it. Like, there's the river right there where people are trafficked across. There's a high wall, barbed wire. If you're in there, you know, there's no way out. It's horrendous thinking about Gavash, and I'm even getting like an eerie energy from the building just being here. And that is a really horrific side of social media that I don't think anybody really fully understands.
Does it make you feel differently about your use of social media?
Gotta go.
Gotta go.
Someone had started taking photos of us, so we had to leave or risk being stopped.
Is there a chance he was sending those photos somewhere?
We're heading to another group of compounds, 18 miles away.
It's really surreal seeing that and being that close to it. When you see it in real life and you can see people, it really hits home, you know, that there's people in there that have been trafficked that are potentially being abused right now. It's a pretty horrible feeling.
From above, row upon row of compound buildings.
Here, the scam compounds are reported to be tucked in amongst legitimate businesses.
It's almost like this scam is just preying on human instinct of wanting to do well for yourself. I feel like my initial thoughts were, oh, wow, a documentary, that's great for me. Like, initially I thought that's fantastic for me. But very quickly I realized that this is not about me. This is about so much more than me. I'm super glad that I've done this and educated myself. It's moments like this that are like reminders of what actually matters. It's like a pyramid of abuse, right down to the bottom, which is the person on the other side of the world giving their life savings away, which makes this just such a horrific crime.
He walks away. 4 weeks later, back in Lisbon.
Lily, do you want some food? Do you want me a bit of food? Come on. I remember the moment I stepped out of the taxi at my front door here, and I was like, what the fuck just happened? I have thought about this a lot. You know, is it worth it? You know, is it actually worth it being on social media and being so active? We had only just got back from Thailand, and all of a sudden, you know, these profiles started getting removed. Now that they know we're making a documentary about this, Meta deleted the James_Blake_1. George Wright, gone. That's my actual profile. Got the blue tick. There's another one's been deleted. Facebook's been deleted. Lo and behold, yesterday I get sent 3 more that just got created. So, I don't know. It feels like it's a revolving door of shit and it's never gonna stop.
Unless the guys who own these platforms stop dicking about and take the real fight to the gangs.
Beard got out, and thanks to Jim's work, the compound is under investigation by Dubai authorities. Meta never agreed to an interview, but I received statements from Meta, Match.com, Luxy, and LinkedIn. They have long prohibited content and invested significant resources to prevent scammers using their platforms. Security systems have been upgraded with increased verification measures, technology, and teams of experts all being used to remove scams and block fake accounts even before they're seen by the public.
Details of organisations in the UK offering information and support with fraud or victims of crime are available on the Action Line pages of the BBC website.